So,
yeah, I mean, Estrada at second base, Lamonte Wade Jr., like these guys they find from like the Conforto and JD Davis, like Mets castoffs they've taken and made good. It's pretty wild. Speaking of pretty wild, the NBA offseason usually is pretty wild. I feel it's been a bit more tame. It's been a bit more talk than bite. Barked and bite. I think that was actually probably the
there's just not as many free agents. So it's all like everything has to be around trades. So I guess I'll throw some guys out if they'll be traded in the next 365 days. So next calendar year, will they be traded? All right. So let's start with Cat, Karl Anthony Towns. Will he be traded within a year?
Yes.
Josh, you go first.
Yeah. You want me to go first? I'll go first today. Yes, I think so. I just think that Ant-Man, first of all, I don't know if you guys have seen Halliburton on Paul George's podcast tell a story about Anthony Edwards, and I'll send it to you guys later. He's hilarious. He's the face of the franchise. He's the perfect guy for Minnesota. And he's, you know, he's one of my favorite players because he's come out and said that his goal is to play all 82 games every year. A rarity and a superstar. I think they need to go get picks. They got fleeced with the Gobert deal. I think Karl Anthony Towns is a good player for them to move, especially as they see like the Western Conference once again to me is all of a sudden very tough and very deep, and they may be in a play-in or outside the play-in heading next year, so they may have to make something happen.
Toss.
Yeah, 365 is tough, right? Because it goes into next offseason as well. And I certainly don't believe that he's going to get moved this season of NBA basketball, the 2023-2024 season. I do not believe that he will be moved before that trade deadline. I think that the Timberwolves have tied their hands a little bit here because you're not going to get the same return that you gave up for Rudy Gobert if you give up Karl Anthony Towns. That's just the way that the market is working right now. And, you know, it's just, again, an abolishment on the original move that you made to bring Rudy Gobert in. I know you signed Naz Reid for that contract, but it's a flexible one that you could get off if you need to. And they had three bigs on their team last year. So you don't think that they have the intention of rolling those same three guys out this season. They have to give, in their minds, I can see them talking themselves into giving time to Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards, and Karl Anthony Towns all being on the court together. I think it's a mistake. I'm with you, Josh. I think they should move Karl Anthony Towns. I just don't think that they will.
Yeah, I think it is tough to do 365. So let's cut it down to just this season because there's guys on this list that can probably get traded twice in 365 days. All right, so next up, we got Damian Lillard. Will he be traded this season?
Yeah, and you know what? But I'm Portland apparently has come out and said that they'll
wait. Is that obvious though? Because from what we're hearing, it's like he only wants to go to Miami. If they can't get a deal done in Miami, then what do they do?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he doesn't have a no trade clause. And he can do whatever he wants. I mean, that's the other team. I think that at a certain point, he will want to be off the roster so badly, and I think he's already getting there, that he will be willing to not hold out at camp and not hold out from playing with whatever team he gets traded to. If he feels like that they have a better shot and they have a better team than the Portland Trailblazers, then he's going to give it his all. He's an elite competitor. Like, I think that it's a bit of a front, and I don't necessarily buy it from a guy that I know whenever he's out on the court, always wants to be the best player out there and believes that he's one of the best players in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to play a little poker sometimes, you know, I mean, you don't want to like just put it all on the table. And I mean, there is a little bit of negotiating on his part too. Like he wants to find the right home. And he wants to win a championship and wants to set himself up for success. So he's got to play the game a little bit. So I understand kind of the process a little bit, but you know, at some point you got to just kind of bear down and do your thing.
Like, yeah. But I just think that like saying you're only going to go to Miami and saying you're not going to play for the team if they trade for you, like that's a little petulant in my mind. Like what are we?
Yeah. It's first of all, people are starting to, Dame's going from the most loyal player to all of a sudden people are anti-Dame and like so disappointed based on how he's acted in the past. And I think Miami doesn't have it. Like they don't have the deal. Like we all know what they can offer. Like it's black and white what they are going, their best packages, and they can't do it because they won't include Bam. If they're not going to include Bam, Portland does not want what they have to offer. So they need to get Chicago involved with LaVine. They got to do this. They got to get Brooklyn. Like who you like all of a sudden it's like, you know, they're throwing a block party and they're trying to get Dame Lillard to get back to their house. Not going to happen. I think he gets traded. I saw Cleveland the other day floated out. I thought that was pretty interesting considering they were disappointed with Darius Garland's playoff performance after they moved Donovan Mitchell. And then, to me, Darius Garland is a better starting point than Tyler Herro. He just is. I would rather have him on my running the point on my team than bringing in Herro, like, and whatever picks you can get from Cleveland, maybe bring in Isaac Okoro as well. We know they love their defensive wings in Portland, but Damian Lillard, A, Miami doesn't have it. And B, I hate to say this, but like Portland doesn't owe you anything, bro. Like you signed that deal with them. You did. Like you could have hit free agency and then you could have signed anywhere you wanted to. You elected to sign a deal with Portland. That was your choice. You signed that contract extension. Now you want out of that deal. You don't want to play from them anymore. Like you don't have the no trade clause. Like
I disagree that they don't owe you anything. I think they definitely owe you some say in where you go. In the NBA, it's not like it's different because like if you're the face of a franchise for years and you've driven revenue to them, yeah, you've got a lot of money from your contract, but not as much money as you made that team. I mean, he's been the face of Portland sports, not just basketball, because that's really all they have. He's been the face of Portland for years. They owe him a little bit.
But they're
not going to ship him off to like Charlotte.
Of course they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that because they're by already negotiating with the contending teams, that's enough. Sure. They don't owe him to get him to Miami. They owe themselves to get the best deal they possibly can. Now, is it their fault for putting themselves in this position by signing Grant, by not trading Damian Lillard when they probably should have a year and a half ago? Yeah. But I don't think they're not going to do what you're saying to get into Charlotte, but I think they don't owe him per se.
And Charlotte's not going to give as much up for him. Why would they? Right. Yeah. In comparison to a team that's on the fringe of contention. Yeah. But I agree though. We both agree. He's going to get traded. Though.
Cool. Moving on. Probably the second most talked about trade player this offseason, James Harden. Will he get moved this offseason?
Yeah. No, actually I'm changing. I saw him at the white party. He's looking cozy at the white party with Embiid and,
Tobias
and Grant Will. No, I think they work it out. I think if he was going to get moved, they would have done it. Or like, we know what deals are around. Like if he was going to get moved, I think it would have happened already. I think he tries it one more time with a new coach.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's in a situation that's very favorable to James Harden. And even though it looked as though he wanted to be traded, like the GM of the team is Daryl Morey, who has a great relationship with, and Joel Embiid is the superstar and face of that franchise. And Joel likes him. You know, 2 days ago, he said, like, I think he said something to the effect of, like, we're going to be boys forever. Want him to come back so we can go out and accomplish what we want, which is to win a championship. So hopefully his mindset can be changed. That was a direct quote from Joel. So he's definitely feels very differently than he did about Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers did about Ben Simmons when, you know, Simmons put up that abysmal performance in the playoffs. So this is not a guy in Joel Embiid who is set in stone that he wants the franchise to move on from James Harden. And if he wants him out there, the alternatives as to what you could flip him for, it could be broken into a couple of players, but is that as good as James Harden at his best? You know, once again, he underperformed when push came to shove against the Boston Celtics in that game 7. And he kind of buckled down to the pressure as he has multiple times in the playoffs. But it doesn't mean that, you know, if Tyrese Maxey takes a step forward and they have other guys who are contributors, that, you know, they can lighten the load for James Harden going into this next playoff run. I presume that if he stays on the team, they'll be back in the playoffs. And I trust this head coach more than I do Doc. I like Nurse a lot. I think he has a good idea of how to manipulate his team in a way that allows them to win as many games as possible. So I'd like him to stay there. I know, like, for him, it's kind of the Damian Lillard situation without saying, I want to be traded to the Miami Heat, but he wants to be traded to the Clippers if he's getting traded. And I just don't think that the Clippers are willing to move off of Paul George to bring in James Harden, which I assume is, you know, the probably the core piece of the package. Although I think that in regards to the 76ers, Maxey, Paul George, and Joel Embiid is very enticing to me. But if the Clippers aren't going to make that move, I don't know where else you go. So I think you run it back. So I don't believe that he will be traded.
I do want to say I know you have a list, Nick, but I want to say one thing to the point of like he didn't show up in game seven. Yes, neither did Embiid, but maybe cracking under the pressure, I think it's a bit harsh to me because when push came to shove in game one, when Embiid was out and everyone thought the Celtics were going to wipe the floor with the 76ers, he did show up and he got that win. So he was
elimination game.
Yeah, sure. But the only reason they all matter because they wouldn't have got to the elimination game if they lost that game. They all matter. All those games matter.
The one that sends you packing, the one that sends you home matters most.
They would have been sent packing if they didn't win that game one.
He didn't. Look, I'm not saying that guys don't have bad games, but I didn't feel like he had a competitive drive in that game. I didn't feel like he was in it to win it for his team. I didn't feel like he wanted to will his team to a victory to even try and get to the free throw line 15 times. He was not playing at 100% effort level in game seven. That's where my draw with him is guy. I don't want a guy that's not going to give me his all when we're at the brightest light moment. Like Jason Tatum stepped up in game seven. I know Jason Tatum's going to go down swinging, whether he makes his shots or not. That's a different situation. But like, look, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown will never give up. They will never give up. And I at least respect the hell out of them for that.
Yeah, I just think the game one that Harden put together shouldn't be overlooked.
Blinded by the light, buddy. As you are with him, that's how it goes.
All right, let's move through these next few more quickly. So Pascal Siakam with the Raptors.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. If Van Vliet had stayed, I think they probably would have ran it back. But I think that they're going to have to try and blow things up here. I don't know what it's going to look like. They're in a weird position. They're in a really, really weird position, but they should trade him.
Yep. Somebody about OG and an OB.
See ya. Along, not with him, but along like someone's got a tank in the NBA and it's their time to do it.
They're blowing it up. Blow it up the right way. Mm-hmm. Don't blow up part of it. Blow up all of it.
All right. Battleship.
Our Texas Longhorn boy, Miles Turner.
I think he stays, man. I think if they were going to trade him, they would have done it already. I think Indiana can be competitive this year. I'm drinking that Kool-Aid. I think they're going to be competitive and they could be better than the Bulls and try to get into that play and maybe back out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, and this guy's also on the list, that it's contingent upon keeping Buddy Hield though. I do think Buddy Hield could easily get moved before the deadline. You can replace shooting a lot easier than you can replace a versatile big who's a defensive anchor like Miles Turner, who can also shoot. So I'm going to say that they move Hield before the deadline. They hold on to Turner.
Josh, Hield's the next guy on the list. What do you say?
I actually agree with Alexander. I think he couldn't have said it better. So I'll move on in the list.
Great. Next up, Mikal Bridges.
I say yeah. I think they're in the same position as the Raptors where, look, somebody has to tank. Like, somebody has to. You. That's the way, like, the cycle goes. Like, the Pistons and the Rockets and the Pacers and the thing I'm forgetting and the Magic, these teams have moved past tank level. They're moving into, okay, we're going to start trying to get competitive. I think the next teams to tank are the Raptors and the Nets, and I think the Nets have never done it properly. And I think the way Bridges played for them at the end of last year and the way he'll play into this upcoming season, you're going to get an arm and a leg for him. So I would cash in.
I actually think cashing in at the end of the season is a lot more advantageous. Let him go play, get an all-star under his belt, build up his stock, and then move him afterwards if you're going to. So I don't believe that they trade him. I think that they want to see if this guy can become their number one. So I'm going to zag there. Also interesting. I just saw a video and I'm just throwing out there with Buddy Hield since 2020. He is one of the guys that has made the most three pointers, the top three guys that have made the most three pointers besides Steph Curry. It's him. It's Klay Thompson. And it is no, sorry. It's him. It's Jason Tatum and it's Damian Lillard.
Hmm. Well, this next guy on the list also makes a lot of three pointers. Bojan Bogdanović. Is he going to get moved?
Yeah, just because he's a little older. And they have size. They just signed Isaiah Stewart to that massive deal yesterday. They have Jalen Duren. They have Wiseman. They have Marvin Bagley III. They have Thompson in the mix. Cade Cunningham. They have a lot of young guys that need to get run. Do I think Bogdanović is valuable? And he adds a lot to that team? Sure. Do I think they're contending this upcoming season? No. So I think getting some picks back and getting some stuff back for Bogdanović and moving him to a team that needs, like you're saying, Nick, that could score, I think he gets moved this season.
I'm going to say that they hold on to him and they keep that wing shooting to surround these young guys in a piece that you know you don't have to see what it turns into, or you know exactly what you're getting from him. And he's going to be a 40% three-point shooter. He's going to be an 18 points per game guy. I think that consistency and just reliability is something that you can't often have. And it's something that you saw as a big desirable for the Houston Rockets in free agency. It's why they went after Dylan Brooks. It's why they went after Fred VanVleet. I worry about the development of a really young team when they take away veterans who know how to get it done in the NBA. I certainly think what you said could happen, Josh. They could easily trade this guy before the trade deadline and, you know, get a first round pick. I feel like they would have done that last year though. And I feel like the market wasn't there enticing enough for them to be like, okay, this is why. And so they'd rather just ride out his contract, get that cap space, go then and sign another veteran at probably around the same rate, or use some of it for, you know, Ivy, Cunningham, these guys who are going to have big contracts coming up when they get to their second contract. So I'm going to say that they hold on to Bojan.
Word. It's my list. Let's move on to NFL. You have a list for us for NFL, yeah?
I do have a list for you guys for NFL. Pascal Siakam to the Pistons. That could kind of maneuver things around, and that's just a hot take right there. They could move off Bogdan, but get Siakam. I do have a list. We'll probably break it up. We'll do one today, one tomorrow, because we have a few minutes left here on our stream. Well, do you guys want to play the guessing game first, or you want to play a list first? I'll leave it up to you boys.
What's more fun? What would you have more fun doing?
You guys know I love a good guessing game with y'all, and you guys, you guys kind of kick my ass in the baseball.
Yeah, we might make slight work of it. We might be able to fit both in because it'd be too easy.
It was too easy. Okay. Sorry. Give me 1 second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams in NFL history do not have an MVP winner. Who are those teams?
7 teams in NFL history. That's a lot of teams. Okay. The obvious ones you could take out. I mean, you could take out, you know, the Pats. Chargers had one. Chiefs had one.
Yes.
I don't think the Jags ever had one. Jags never had one. They're two.
That is one of the teams, correct,
Nick. Houston also has not.
Correct. 2 out of 7.
I don't believe the Buccaneers have had an MVP.
Okay, Alexander. That's 3 of 7.
Has Four Cleveland ever had one?
Cleveland has
Jim Brown,
had.
Right?
Yeah.
Cleveland's had an MVP.
Have New York Jets had one?
Good guess.
No, they haven't. Mr. Quickwork. Nikki Quickwork Kreider here.
Great guess.
You have three more.
Okay, let's think about.
I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions.
They have had an MVP.
Barry Sanders?
Correct.
Have the Cards had an MVP?
They have not, Alexander. 2 more teams.
Cool.
Nice.
These are the 2 tougher teams, I would say.
Carolina Panthers.
No, Cam Newton, buddy.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Sorry, buddy.
That one's a recent one.
Saints?
Correct, Nick.
Yeah.
One more to go.
Okay. All right.
Drew Brees never did it.
Just trying to think of like great quarterbacks and if they even got it done with like their teams.
Go, yeah, exactly. That's that, but that was that you would have cut the red herring was Drew Brees. He never won an MVP with New Orleans.
Yeah,
he has the stats, but never won the MVP. So to quickly, as you're thinking, Cardinals, no. Texans, no.
Is this a team that has changed their name?
This is not a team that has changed their name. But love the outside the box questions.
Is it the Vikings? No, Adrian Peterson, right?
Okay, yeah. Yes. I love how you say the guess and then quickly just say the MVP before I can even say yes or no.
I just forget.
I know, but then you remember. So
and I remember.
The
Raiders. No, wait.
The Raiders have an MVP.
Mark Gasol.
But Rich Gannon's their last MVP. I'm looking at their last MVP.
Does this team currently have two guys on their team that could win the MVP?
No.
One guy? One very viable candidate?
One viable candidate that could for sure win the MVP.
The Bengals?
No.
The Bills?
No. The last guy to win it for the Bills was Thurman Thomas. The last guy to win it for the Bengals was Boomer Esiason.
Boomer. Okay, I'm just thinking about divisions here, Nick.
Knew it would be hard. It's not a team you would think. Oh, that's
we already name. Got the AFC North team because we know that the Ravens have won, and we know that the Steelers have.
Tennessee Titans?
Tennessee Titans.
Because they changed their name.
And Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry did not win the MVP. Their last MVP, though, was in 2003 with the late, great
Steve McNair. The Eagles.
Done. That's it.
Oh, correct. I thought for a second that I was like, should we take a swing at the
Eagles? I feel like they've been around for so long, but like, have they never had an MVP?
They haven't.
Well, they weren't great for a while.
Yeah. Honestly. I mean, a lot of teams, the Packers, the Colts, the Broncos. With the quarterbacks, the last Cowboy to do it was actually Emmitt Smith, which is pretty interesting. And then the Giants player did was Lawrence Taylor. Everyone actually another interesting one for you guys. The last Steeler to do it was Terry Bradshaw. So the Steelers haven't had an MVP since the 70s, despite being one of the most consistently great teams.
Yeah,
Terry Bradshaw.
Obviously, the 49ers.
Yeah. 49ers have gotten it done with Steve Young being the last.
Seahawks, of course.
Can you name the last Seahawk?
Was it Russ?
Was it not Dangerous?
Not Dangerous, number one MVP.
Was it Sean Alexander?
Mr. Alexander. And then the Chargers with LT. And then Matt Ryan for the Falcons. Some recent ones. Gents, really good guessing. Really good baseball talk. Really good baseball talk. Football talk. Basketball talk. The whole shebang. And my phone goes on the counter, and that is our cue to hit the road. We'll see you guys tomorrow, Wednesday. We have a special guest Thursday, so get excited for that. Fans out there, hit your free throws because they're free. We'll see you guys next time.